You've come a long way, baby.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. 40 years after the first Surgeon General's warning, the U.S. House is expected to vote today to put cigarettes under FDA regulation. The FDA will have the power to reduce nicotine content and regulate chemicals, limit advertising to kids, and ban words like light and mild unless the product is proven safer than standard tobacco. You've probably heard of Fidelity and Barclays, giants that manage enormous amounts of money. You might not know much about BlackRock, but they are about to become the biggest asset manager of all. Last night, the New York-based company agreed to buy an investment arm of Barclays in a deal worth $13.5 billion, as reporter Ashley Milne-Tite tells us.
The new company will have close to $3 trillion in assets under management. That'll put it ahead of rivals State Street and Fidelity. Everyday investors may not be that familiar with the name BlackRock. The company mainly manages assets for groups like the federal government, sovereign wealth funds, and college endowments. Chris Hughes is with BreakingViews.com. He says the attraction for BlackRock is clear.
It's just the sheer scale of this. I mean, it's not often that you're able to, with a single transaction, create such a huge step up in the size of your business. They're reasonably complementary. I mean, clearly there are going to be some areas of overlap, but it looks like quite a good fit.
After the deal closes, BlackRock will have more than 9,000 employees in 24 countries. As for Barclays, it's been on a mission to raise capital ever since it declined to take part in a UK government bailout last year. The deal also gives Barclays a 20% equity stake in BlackRock. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Barclays shares are down about 4% in London this morning. European markets in general are lower, up to 1%. However, Asian markets ended mostly higher after good economic news from China and the U.S. Yesterday, the S&P 500 added 0.6%. The Dow gained 0.3%, or 32 points, and closed at 8,770. In Italy today, finance officials from the Group of Eight countries are meeting to set the agenda for the big G8 summit this summer. So they're talking about stress tests on European banks and tighter financial regulation. But there's also this ideological split opening up, especially between the U.S. and Germany. Stephen Beard joins us from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
What is Germany saying?
Germany is saying that as we begin to see the first tentative signs, very, very tentative signs of economic recovery in various parts of the global economy, we've got to start talking about exit strategies. We've got to start talking about how we get out of this situation we're in of extremely low interest rates and large amounts of public money being pumped into the global economy. How do we transition from that to a more normal situation without causing a major disruption?
And what's the American position?
Well, the Americans are saying it's far too early to be talking about that. Let's get our recovery first. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is urging his fellow finance chiefs to stay the course on economic stimulus spending and financial reforms and keep interest rates low until we really do see a major turnaround in the global economic situation.
Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, the White House said it will speed up stimulus spending to save or create 600,000 jobs this summer. But how are those jobs calculated? Tamara Keith tried to figure that out by revisiting a stimulus project she first told us about last month. It's the very first road project to start construction as part of the stimulus package, a repaving project on a mile-long stretch of road in suburban Washington, D.C.
About 20 people now working on the New Hampshire Avenue repaving project would be jobless if not for stimulus money. But can workers at the asphalt plant supplying that project count their jobs as a stimulus success, too? This week, dignitaries in suits and hard hats cut through a big red ribbon to mark the official opening of the Independence Construction Materials plant in Jessup, Maryland.
There we go.
The plant is already shipping asphalt to stimulus projects, but it almost wasn't built. Ross Myers is CEO of American Infrastructure, the parent company for the asphalt firm. Last fall, when it became clear the economy was a wreck, he thought hard about putting the plant on hold.
And we decided to go ahead because it was going to provide jobs for our people. And we're happy to say that we actually have quite a nice backlog for it.
And Myers thanks the stimulus money for that backlog. While it only takes 6 people to operate the plant, nearly 100 will be working in the asphalt supply chain. Company executives can't say exactly how many of those jobs are truly stimulus jobs. And therein lies the challenge.
You're getting at exactly the difficulty in my life because I'm the one that's supposed to come up with numbers on that.
Christina Romer is chair of the President's Council of Economic Advisors. She says the administration will receive quarterly reports from agencies about where their stimulus money is going, but they won't include indirect impacts.
They surely won't have information on the sandwich shop where the workers went and got their sandwiches. They won't have information on once you hired these workers and they went out, now had income and went out and bought things. We won't have numbers on that.
But there's no simple formula for calculating that. Peter Morisi is an economist at the University of Maryland. Looking at data on government employment and construction jobs, he's just not buying the Obama administration's claims of job creation.
You can find some workers around the country that owe their employment to the stimulus package. 150,000 will be hard to identify, and certainly going forward over the next 100 days, another 600,000, that's going to take some magic to accomplish.
He says the jobs that are created, like those supplying asphalt to stimulus projects, will be temporary. The folks at Independence Construction Materials realize that, but they're hoping the economy picks up before the stimulus work runs out. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke. At Marketplace.org, our Scratchpad blogger, Scott Jagow, is asking, where will recovery come from? And listeners are weighing in. Thank you for tuning in and have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.